And all the champions, they have conveyed their greetings to you, and we are really proud of you. You are always in our prayers here in Uganda, and we love you so much. So I thank God for Pastor Jim and all his messages we have there in Uganda, and I came to take him back. He said that the last time was his last time to Uganda, but we didn't believe it because I think we still need him and we still need the anointing that God has put on his life. We need his teachings. But anyway, everybody conveyed his greetings. You know, I had five daughters, but now I have a son of almost 2 years of old. Me and my wife, we decided to have a son in addition to our daughter, our five daughters. Now we have six children. And Jonathan is a wonderful kid that is always bring us joy in our home, and we believe that God has a very good plan for him. And when we heard his story that he was dropped somewhere at the church when he was less than a month, that touched us so much because we are looking for someone like that who indicates or gives us a little picture of what we are in God. Because when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says that whosoever believeth in him was given power to become the children of God. Yes. We have the same rights and heritage with Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God. And I remember the days I signed the papers in the court. And that day, Jonathan has the same rights with her sisters, and he's a son. He has now the father. He has the mother, and he has the sisters, and he belongs somewhere. I mean, he's no longer cast or left out. Or he's no longer. He's a son in the family of somebody. So I really thank God that we are really participating a little bit of what God did for us in the spirit. That now we are no longer strangers and heathens, but we are children of God and a fellow heir with Jesus in his kingdom. And I looked unto Jonathan and I said, I wish he know. Now he's a heir, and he has the rights, the equal right with her sisters, and everything that belongs to me, it belongs to him as well. So I bring greeting from Jonathan. I came with a brief video, but since David is not here, I don't know whether it will work for us here or not. But God has been so good to us in Uganda. We are witnessing his goodness and his great work that he's doing in our country. We have just elected our leaders from the president to downwards. And this time I have good news that we didn't have any bloodshed. I didn't hear anybody died this time in the country. That is unusual in such a time as that. And I ask you to pray for our country so that stability and peace may continue in our country. For us to continue to preach the gospel, and also to do what God wants us to do in our time, in our country. So we are proud of being there to witness the evil and then the changes of things, the way he's transforming our country for better. And we don't want to go back in the pit, in those dictatorship regimes, and we tasted hell. And we know that Uganda is like being raised from the dead. And most of all, we thank God for Jesus, because our country now is shouting for joy because Jesus is now the rivers of life in our country. We witness many people who are coming to Christ, even those you never thought that they can accept Christ. And the gospel is preached in areas where people never wanted the gospel to be preached there. Give you an example, where I was born, I was the only one who first got saved in that area. And it was real, real difficult. I mean, it was tough because my people disowned me. And they never wanted to see me again because they thought that I've really joined a very bad religion. And my spirit has contacted another spirit, another God. So the spirit of the family and the clans are going to kill me and kill everybody. So they said, I better go and die there by myself. But thank God, because they gave me like 6 months that I'll be dead. Then after 6 months, they said, okay, now 1 year. After 1 year, nothing wrong happened to me. They said, okay, now 2 years. And then they said, now 3 years. Then after 3 years, that's when I started to see them getting saved. And they knew that greater is he that is in me than the spirits and demons and the Satan were worshiping over the years. And now I can count so many relatives. As I told you last time that in Africa we have extended families, hundreds and hundreds who have already accepted Christ, and they take me as their pastor. So what God did, after leaving that place for a long time came when God led me to start a church in that area, which I thought that it was going to be a real tug of war, and I was ready for whatever was going to come out. But on my surprise, the church started very simple. We first bought a land for the church, and my mom died, and by the time he died, I was here in this country. I didn't attend the funeral. But when I went back, I called back all the friends and the relatives and family to celebrate the legacy of our mom. On that occasion, when I preached, 15 people got saved. And five of them were from that very community, though others came from far distances. But with those five, I didn't know that the church is now beginning. That's how the church began, and now we have over 70 adults within the last 2 years. We have 70 adults and many, 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 many kids. I give glory to God, because that is the area which was full of darkness. People, they never wanted to hear the gospel. They were fully involved in drinking and boozing a lot, and adultery and voodoo, total darkness over the years. But now we see the church as a little candle that is really driving, getting rid of the darkness in that area. And whoever joined the church, accept Christ and joined the church, is never the same. And miracles and signs are taking place all the time. There was a young kid, about 9 years. She could not actually walk. She was like walking like this. But I tell you what, now she's walking straight because the power of God touched that daughter. And now that's a miracle that nobody can deny, because they knew that kid over the years, and now God has healed her. So really thank God. And we started a school this year in that area, the first Christian school in that area. And I thank God we finished the first term. I think you call that semester here, because we have three terms in the year. But now we finished the first term successfully with our 106 kids. That is from kindergarten to grade two. And I thank God how he's really leading the growth, both with the school and also the church. And we were able to put up a building a little bit more like this, almost like this, where we are running classes there. Yeah. So that is a very, very big deal. And now we are drilling a well right up on that part of the land. And very soon we shall not have any problem with water, because the water is really very far, because the land is up on the hill. So they have to go very, very far to get water. And the community is rejoicing. The people, though many of them have not yet accepted Christ, but they send all their kids to come to Sunday school. And I remember when I was a Catholic, we used to have a say that give me a kid of 4 years and let him stay with me for another 4 years, he's going to be a Catholic forever. To me, I use the same principle. Give me a kid and let her come and let him or her come and sit. And come again and come again for the next 4 years. That person, I believe, is going to change the history of the community. So we believe that with those kids there, that area will never be the same again, because God is working tremendously in their lives. So pray for that church there, and for the people at large. The leader of our clan is my brother. So it was very hard to have a church there, but God gave me some wisdom. Yeah, because he's one of the guys never wanted to see me. For him, he's totally, completely in darkness. But he's the one who paid my school fees when I was in grade 6 and grade 7. Now, this time I decided to go and thank him for what he did for me by giving him some good gifts. I bought some things and I took to him as an appreciation for what he did for me to send me to school for those 2 years. And when he saw that, he said, "Joel, I've done this, I've done that to many people, but no one has ever come back to do what you have done. Therefore, Joel, let me tell you, let each one of us worship God his own way." In other words, he meant that I'm free now to go ahead and run the church in that area. So from that time, I realized that you can't stop God. It's just his time. In his due time, he's going to use something or something out of nothing, and he's going to cause his work to triumph. So I really thank God for that. Even with the champions, we have 502 kids now. And this time we went to five regions to pick three or four from each region. And my wife went to somewhere called Hoima, down into the areas there. When she was supposed to bring two, but she ended up coming back with five. And she left many others in tears, including some of the widows who knew the program we have. But when they came back, we were touched so much, and the church raised some funds to make sure that we send some food and asked some clothes to those kids who were stayed there. And in the near future, we believe that we shall get more kids, because life is very devastating there. It's not good life at all. But really, we thank God that not only growing orphans, we don't call them even orphans, we call them champions. But we see that God is changing the country for better. Because as I told you last year, that in Africa we have tribalism. And we are killing each other because of that, hating each other. Over the years, and all the civil wars you hear in our country, that is the hidden agenda, that's the hidden thing behind. But now bringing people from, these kids from different parts of the country, we see that the war of tribalism is coming down. And we are having a generation that coming up loving one another instead of hating each one another. And one time, I believe somebody, instead of having enemies in the around the country, is going to have friends around the country. And I've seen God is in it, and he's really bringing the wall down. And another good report I have is that this year we have someone graduated as a doctor. And we started, this kid, we started when he was 2. And he has been with us over the years, and he's now a doctor. And it has come at the right time where we want to open up the clinic that will help the champions and the communities around. And he can't wait. I wish the video could show you. He's on the video, determined to come and serve his fellows as a doctor. And we have many graduated as teachers. And we have many others graduated in vocational trade schools like carpenter, and auto biomechanics, cosmetology, and many other skills. So I'm very, very, very thankful to see what God is doing in our time and using just ordinary people for extraordinary work. Yeah. Extraordinary work. And we believe that Uganda will never remain the same again. Hallelujah. And we see our country mostly in the lives of these kids. Thank God for the leaders in politics and what. But to me, I see the future of this country in the lives of the young ones. And I believe that God is going to use them than any other generation. We are praying God to give us more life, more days to live. Because I want them to sit in the pews there and see people who are standing to defend the gospel or to stand for the good of our country. And I can't wait to see how God is going to use each and everyone's skills and talents and anointing that it's putting on their lives. So continue to keep us in our prayers, in your prayers. And again, I want to thank you for standing with us. Thank you for the prayers and funds that you are sending to us to cause us to do that incredible work there. And maybe you may not understand what your money is doing. But I believe when the Lord comes back, you will, don't be surprised to see a big reward or a crown on your head because of what we have done together in our time. We are changing history and making a difference in that so-called, it used to be called dark country and continent. So I'm here to thank you so much and to bring a vote of thanks from all the board of directors for what you're doing. Not only money, but also to take your step to come down there Because I've seen so many people who want to come, but promise to come, but they don't. In fact, someone, one time he said that I want to come and I feel called to come. But what about the lions and snakes and mosquitoes? And, and I said, so what? He said, what if I die there? And I said, wow. When God sends you, he's going to take care of business. He's going to protect you. If you are really sure that God is sending you there, God is always protecting his people. I'm a true witness of that. There are so many people who have tried to kill me. There are so many people who have come with guns and others. They use other methods to kill me. But God has been so good all the years. Because I'm a survivor, he has protected me for the purposes of the kingdom. And I said, sir, for your information, I've taken like 5 years without seeing a snake. And the last snake I saw was very, very short like this. And if I want my kids to see the lions, I just take them to the zoo or to the safari. The safari. So I was trying to let him know that he's afraid of nothing. But anyway, I went ahead and tell him, if you die there, I think that's a good deal. What makes it important to die in America? And you are going to die anyway. I think when we die on our father's work, not only us who are going to be first to die. There are so many missionaries died. Some of them, they died in ships. Some of them, they died in countries where they went for missions. Some of them, they died in aeroplanes. Some of them, they spent months in ships to get to the places where God told them to go. We are not the first to die. You are not the first to die. But I better die serving God. Hallelujah. Than dying just any other ordinary death. So I'm here to tell you how important was you guys to take your step to come to Africa. And I don't take it for granted. After traveling around this country, I know how beautiful is your country. And when you compare here in Africa, it is a sacrifice for someone to come down there. So you have done that. I'm here to thank you so much. And I believe that you are coming again. The door is widely open. And I told Pastor Jim that I came to pick him back, to take him back. He said he's no longer coming. That was his last time. But I didn't believe it. I didn't believe that. So I will not be surprised to see him anytime in God's timing in our country. And speak to those young pastors and married couples who are really hungry for the anointing that God has put on his life. Not only him, but any member in this church, you don't have even to request. You just call and say, I'm coming. The door is widely open for you. And when you come, you will never be disappointed because you are going to see what God is doing in our country. You are going to see love and you are going to see how people love God. Father, in Jesus' name, I want to thank you this morning for another opportunity you have given me to come and see and meet your precious people that washed by your precious blood. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing between us, and thank you for what you are doing in our time. What a blessing to be set apart for the work of the kingdom and to be your co-workers in thy vineyard. Father, we are so proud of you And we thank you so much because we are no longer vagabond. We are not just idle and disorderly in the kingdom. But Father, you are using us and you have called us to be your co-worker. We thank you for that and we give you all the glory and praise and honor. And right now, as I share a brief message that you have put on my heart, Father, I pray that help each and every one of us to understand what the Spirit says to the church in our time. In Jesus' name. Amen. When Pastor Jim told me that I'll stand here and speak, and I prayed, and I believe God gave me the message, and which I believe that is a message of the day, is the message of our time. Actually, what God told me to talk about is about our, in Uganda we call it iPad. Anyway, but it is our identity and our purposes of living and our destination, IPD. I believe that each one of us must know, every believer must, if you want to be proud of God, if you want to be thankful to God, you have to get to know the basic message about your identity. That we are not just ordinary people. No, because of Jesus, who died and paid the price for us on the cross at Calvary, through him, we are children of God. The Bible declares that as many as those who believed in him, to them he gave them power to become children of God. We are children of God. In other words, we are children of the King. Thank God for the leaders in the world. In Africa, we have kings. In my tribe, we have a strong king, so-called strong king. But his children, when you see them, they walk when their heads are up because they are children of the King. Thank God for the presidents. One time I was on TV and I saw the daughter of your president here. She went somewhere. She went for recreation. She went, but there are many people, bodyguards, and she was very highly protected. And they mentioned the money that was spent for that. It was really unbelievable. Because she's a daughter of the leader of the great country, USA. But I thank God, my God, my Savior, is the King of Kings and is the Lord of Lords. Don't tell me that I walk when my head is down. I can't. If those were children of the Hathre kings, they walk when their head is up. They are sure of their protection. They are sure of their future in this world. They are sure of their education and everything they need in Prente. One time I was hearing your president here give a speech about heresy, whatever. And he said that he has the best doctors in the whole world. Thank God for that. If people, they are proud of that, how much more can I be proud of being the son of the King? And not just the King, but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Savior that died and rose from the dead, and now he is seated on the right hand of God, interceding for me. And the Bible says that every tongue must confess that Jesus is the Lord, and every knee must bow down to the glory of God. How much more am I proud of that? I'm a son of the King. I have my identity in God. I don't see myself in the past days before I see God, before I received Jesus. In the scriptures we are going to read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning from verse 16, it says, I'm reading King James Version. Don't mind if I don't confess the words well, because English is my third language. Out of the five I can speak. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God. That is a very powerful statement there. And all things come from the Lord. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed us unto the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ instead be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him righteousness of God in him. May God bless his word. In the scriptures that we have just read, Paul was trying to reveal the mystery to the Corinthians, that those many who believed in Christ, he was revealing to them that they are new creations. We are new creations in Christ. And he said the old things passed away. So if someone want to describe me in the past, is going to count it wrong. No wonder Pastor Jim. Remember Jesus said that that the prophet will not be honored with his own people. Because they knew you when you were a kid. And they always want to remember that. So they don't want they don't want to look now, they look in the past. That's why they can't give the real respect needed. But look here. When we came to Christ, something significant happened to us. We are no longer seen in the flesh, but in the spirit, we are children of God. We have our identity in God. And I remember when Jesus, everywhere he went, that's what he emphasized. I'm a son of God. Even before Pontius Pilate, when he was asked, are you a child of God? He said, yes, I am. Because he never wanted to deny the fact that he's a child of God. So when you know God, and you know yourself, and you see yourself in him, just as Jonathan, my young son, you can't tell him he's not my son. When you come to my home and you say, hey, you Jonathan, you don't belong in this house. He can run in my room and bring the paper and say, look here, I'm a child of Joel Bukenya. I belong to this family. And everything my father has belongs to me. I'm no longer an orphan. I'm not poor. I'm not isolated. I have a father. And I have my sisters and my brothers. So I have somewhere I belong. Once I was outside, I was abandoned, and I was left at the church door when I was less than a month. When you see me in that time, you are counting it wrong. You have to see me now, because now I have a father. Wait, he is soon coming back with something in his hand to give me. He cares for me. He takes care of me. And he loves me. Most of all, he loves me. That's what we are in God. I have good news. Though we are sometimes facing terrible situations and go through difficult circumstances, and we hear rumors of war and the threat and terrorism and ISIS and many other things going on in the world that can really darken our eyes and our spiritual eyes. I'm here with good news that our Father is still in control. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. He takes care of his kids. He knows us. And the Bible says that he knew us even before we came in the womb of our mothers. And he has destined us to be in this world in such a time as this. Yes. As his witness, as his children. As his children. As his children. God so loved the world. And he gave his only begotten son. That whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Brethren, thank God for everything we may have. Thank God for material things. Thank God for everything else. But most of all, we are children, sons and daughters of the King. Sons of daughters of the King. Sons and daughters of the King. I don't want to take me back there, because when you take me back in the old life, I'm completely a failure. I don't have any father. When my earthly father died, that tormented me for almost 21 years. Died when I was 8. But when I came to know God as a father, not just a creator seated in his sovereignty and his glory up there, that changed my history and my countenance and even in my heart, the peace that came in my heart. So I can't allow anybody to take me back there. That's why Paul said we don't see anybody in the flesh. When you see somebody in the flesh, because though Jesus was once in the flesh, but we don't see him any longer like that. And I believe, brothers and sisters, I believe that you know for sure that even here, Jesus is present. He's with us here. According to his promise and the scripture, he said that when we gather two or three in his name, he's always there in our midst. He's here. But you can't see him in the flesh. But blessed are those who can believe it, who can know for sure that God is not a liar. He's here. And many times we always witness the signs of his presence. He's the only one who can change hearts of people, lives of people for better. He's the doctor of doctors who can heal people. He's the Lord who blesses with the blessing with no sorrow. He's the Lord who restores our soul. He senteth his word and heals us. He's ever present and he's always with me. And he's here with us in our midst here. That's why I think Paul said that never stop to assemble. Because where the people of God gather together, that's where God commands his blessings. So I know he's here, but we can't see him with our own eyes. I remember I told you the story of how I was going to kill the man first tried to witness Christ to me. But when I had him praying in his house, I wanted to see God. I sneaked through the window, and I was wondering whether his God is a ghost. And I looked around. I came the next day, and I looked around. I didn't see God, and I was upset. I said, maybe his God doesn't want me to see him. But I was counting it wrong. I could not see him with my eyes. But this guy who was praying, he knew that God was there with him. And he actually prayed me into the kingdom of God. Because it was by his prayer, that's when I started thinking about God and getting saved. So, God is with us. Even though Satan rages, and circumstances change, and situations can change, and relationships can change, and we can get disappointments, and we can sometimes be in pain somehow, somewhere. I tell you, on top of that, our God, still God, and is ever present. He loves us, and we have all our whole being in him. And in him, we have all the victory. In him, we're from glory to glory, and from one step to another, and from power to power, according to the scriptures. So we have our identity. Don't tell me that the kid of Obama is greater than me. Well, you can say that, but I don't believe it. Unless she has Jesus in her life. You can't tell that the son of my king in Uganda is so greater than me. I can't buy that. Not until he accepts Jesus as Lord and Savior. There is a rich man in our country called Sudil. Is almost owning the whole country. He has banks everywhere in Uganda and big hotels, and is a very rich man, and everybody who wants a loan, he just go to him and get whatever big amount you want. But by doing that, he has accumulated so many wealth, and he has taken so many properties of people, and is very rich. But usually when I'm addressing my people, I always tell them that I'm greater than Sudil. Because having possessions and having money and having materials mean nothing as far as life is concerned. Jesus came to give life and to give life more abundantly. Life in this time and even in time to come. We have Jesus. Once you have Jesus, you have everything. That is the most precious gift that God gave people in the world. He gave us Jesus. You can take away everything you want from me, but I can't allow you to take Jesus away. I've gone through different situations where circumstances change, and I find out down, no money, but I have Jesus. I got so many disappointments as a leader, as a pastor, and as a leader of big audiences in Uganda. You can be disappointed of how people run away from God. I mean, how people really behave, but all the same, I end up going back and I say, Lord, friends can leave you, co-workers can disappoint you and leave you. But I thank God I have Jesus. I have Jesus. He will never forsake me or leave me. And I'm a child of God. That was sealed on the cross when Jesus paid the price. And the Bible says, declares that we are sealed with the seal of the Holy Spirit. That we are set apart. We are children. We are fellow heir with Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God. We are here in the kingdom of God and servants of God. And we are here, not us live, but we live in Jesus, and we have all our whole being in Jesus. You know what? The Bible even encourages never even to see people in the flesh. When I see anybody who has Jesus in his life, I really thank God. He has the best gift that anybody can have. Jesus, a free gift from God. The best gift that man can receive. Jesus, we have our identity in God. We have so many people who come and try to divert us from the truth, but I don't need any other truth other than Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. He's always with me. I always depend on his word and his promises, and I always see everything becoming true. So we are children of God. We are children of the King. And we are here fully in his kingdom. We are safe. I remember when I had just been saved and I was threatened by my family people who disowned me. Someone read a scripture that went down, sinked down in my spirit, which says that the name of the Lord is our strong tower. The righteous, they are always running that name and they are safe. Wow. From that time, I was never been scared at all. Because I've seen really, really, really seen Jesus is my everything. He's my protector. I've seen many people trying to kill me. Even that some of them, they tried so many methods to kill me. Just as I failed to kill the guy who first tried to preach Jesus, so many others, they have failed to kill me because I'm well protected as a son of King. And I have my identity in God. Secondly, we have the purpose of living. We are not just to be here as children of God and sons and daughters of the King, but we have also the purpose of living. We are not here to eat and die tomorrow, but we are here for the purposes of God, for the purposes of the kingdom of God. And we are divinely positioned. This is what I taught the brethren in Dallas Church. We are divinely positioned. It is not for coincidence that I'm there in Uganda, that I was born in Africa. It's not by mistake that you are here. It's not. God knew that. And the Bible says that he knew us even before we came in the womb of our mother. And he has destined us. He has divinely positioned us. You are here for the purposes of the kingdom in this great nation. Though there are many things going on here and there. But I tell you what. You are divinely positioned. I was speaking to one of my friends, and he said, Joel, are you going to welcome us when we run to your country? I said, for what? Why are you running away? Oh, you don't know what is going on. No one knows what is next in America. No one is going to happen. I said, brother, don't be scared. You are divinely positioned. I was in Uganda during those dictatorship regimes and civil wars. And I realized later that God preserved me for the purposes of the kingdom. I survived death narrowly. There was a time when it was hard to tell whether you will live the next day because of people dying here and there, shooting here and there, and death was like, life was useless, had no meaning that time. But I wonder how God protected me. I didn't have a gun. Let me give you an example. One time, Idi Amin told his soldiers, because he didn't have money to pay them, our country was put in embargo. And he said, your gun is your mother, is your father, and is your business, the gun you have in your hand. In other words, he said that you have to take care of yourself. That was an open door for the soldiers to start stealing and torturing people, taking the properties everywhere, breaking houses and rape women and steal the properties and do all those evil around. And when I saw that, I said, Lord, if you want me to live the next day, don't let the soldiers break my door and rape my wife in front of me. I can let them take the properties, but I can't open my eyes and see that happening to my wife. I'm going to fight, and they are going to shoot me. Therefore, don't let anybody touch my door. You know what happened? They came and they broke the neighbor's door, and they broke another neighbor's door, and they broke another one, they broke another. They never touched my door. And even the neighbors, some of them, they brought their small remaining properties in my house because they realized that my house was secure. And I said, Lord, this is good. This is good. So though the shaking and rumors of war and threatening, we are divinely positioned. The more the dark, the greater the light. I believe that the gospel is to be preached in season and out of season. We have the answer to the whole world. The Bible said that he has given us the words of reconciliation. What the world needs is and our tongue. The gospel, Jesus, is the answer to all races of people, to all countries. One time we went to preach the gospel on an island called Sese Island. And after 3 days, people were getting saved and getting healed, upstanding miracles. And the religious people, they were so envious because they were losing people. And they made a meeting and discussed how to stop the gospel campaign going on. And not only to stop the gospel campaign, but to kill the preacher. Do you know the preacher they were trying to kill? That is Joel. So the brothers, they knew what was going to take place. They came and they told us, man, you have to leave this island immediately because something terrible is going to happen. So when he told us the whole story, I told the people that we prayed before we came here, and God confirmed that he's going to be with us. And even you can see the signs of his presence. So how can we run like cowards like that? I believe God is able to protect us. Oh, Pastor, you want us to die here. Oh, wow, wow, wow. Then we said, okay, let us go in the closet. What we mean in Uganda, go in the closet, is to hide yourself and pray. So we prayed for almost 2 hours. And then I told them, you know what? I feel the peace of mind. I feel the peace in my spirit. That is a sign indicates that nothing wrong is going to happen. let us go ahead and preach Jesus. And everybody said, oh, Pastor, oh. I said, okay, do me one favor. Get up on the pulpit, because that's how we attract people to come. We sing on sound equipments and songs of praise, and they come. So I told them to sing one song. And then after that, they handed that microphone to me and let them hide anywhere they want to hide. And I will preach Christ crucified, because I knew that is the only answer, not only to Uganda, but particularly to that island, because there was no life on that island. You could see people walking miserable. You could hear the history of the island, and you could tell that unless God intervenes, unless they get to know Jesus, there is no hope at all. Then they did accordingly and started preaching, and people were really listening. All of a sudden, like 30 minutes, I saw people coming. It is illegal in Uganda to have a gun. But I saw these people, one was coming from this side, another one from that side, with pistols in their hands. Then I said, Lord, here we are. If it is time to go home, I'm ready. But I will not stop preaching Christ crucified. Amen. I went on preaching like another 40 minutes. And I could see them standing still, doing nothing, because I was expecting a bullet, but nothing was happening. Then after that, I commanded people to repent. I didn't give an invitation, but the Bible, I commanded people to repent and accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. You know what happened? The first people running fast to come and surrender their lives to God were those two guys with the pistols, and they repented in tears. And many other people also came and accepted the Lord. And they told us all the plans and arrangements and how much money they were promised to get when they had killed me. And they said, if we are willing to sue the people, they are ready to stand and witness that. Then we said, brothers, our God has intervened. We can't sue them. Give us the pistols. So they gave us the pistol, and we took the pistols to the police. And we said, we are preachers. Don't ask us where we got these pistols. Because the guys who have been using the pistol, they are already children of God. They are no longer a threat. They have surrendered to God. So keep your pistol, and let us keep the people. Now those two guys, you can't stop them preaching the gospel. They are going from one island to another island. They go to places where I can't even go, preaching Christ. We are protected. We are fully protected. And we have the purpose of living. Satan is trying his best to zip our mouth, because they know that in our mouth there is words of life to the dying world, and words of hope to the hopeless world. That's why he tries to bring this and that, so that we may not speak the words of reconciliation. But I remember what the disciples said when they were threatened. They said, we can't stop talking about someone we touched on, we ate with. We can't. We can't afford it to stop. I think that is the same spirit we need in our time. If we zip our mouths, then we don't know the purpose of living. If we are, Paul said, woe unto me if I don't preach the gospel. And the gospel is to be preached in season and out of season. Beginning from our home, one time I was here and somebody said, you know what? There's a problem in America. No prayers in schools. I said, well, that's okay. But you can have prayers in your home. You can pray with your kids. You can teach them how to pray. You must have a family altar where you always gather together as a family and talk to God and teach your kids the ways of God and the oracles of God. That is possible, brother. Oh, okay, but no prayers in there. And I said, who taught you that the teachers, they are told in the Bible that they are the ones to train up your kids, the ways of God? It is not there. It's the work of the parents, and more especially the work of the father. Bring the kids and teach them the oracles of God and pray for them and give them the stories of the Bible and the stories of their fellow youth men in the Bible, like David, Joseph, Samuel, and many others, and those heroes of faith, and most of all the stories of Jesus Christ. We have a purpose of living. God has not left us here just to eat and die. But we have an assignment. Is to lift up Jesus. Is to talk about Jesus. Is to listen and obey. Go ye into the whole world and preach the gospel. Brothers, when God speaks, he always going to take care of that. He's going to take care of it. He's going to take care of it. But the whole world is waiting upon the church. It's only in the church where there should be the light. And you shall be the salt of the world. But when we just close ourselves in the corners of the building, inside the corners of the building, someone said that if we are given the Holy Spirit and just use the Holy Spirit just to benefit the church, that is immoral. The whole world is waiting for the conviction of the Holy Spirit, who convicts of judgment, righteousness, and sin. We can't get people saved, but God himself, by the Spirit of the Lord, is the one who reveals Jesus, is the one who convicts the hearts of people, and is going to convict by confirming the words that we speak out to them. We speak out in love. We boldly speak out in love, wishing them to get what we have. What a wastage of time to live in this world without Christ. What a bad way to go without Christ. What? And I remember Jesus told Judas Iscariot, he said that I wish he would not have been born. He said that because of the way he left this world. No one should go back and leave this world without Christ. No one. Because Jesus died for the whole world. Jesus died for the whole world. Preach the gospel. We have an assignment. All kind of gospel is necessary. The gospel to the poor, which we call the mercy gospel. When I see the kids we are bringing and the way they turn up to love God, I said, Lord, what if they didn't get this chance? How were they going to grow in this world? And where would them get the hope of the future? And when the Bible commands us to take care of the orphans and widows, I know what it means. After going through difficult situations with my mom when my dad died, I don't wish any kid to grow without parents, without people who are giving comfort, concern, and people who cares for a kid. That is the bad way. But they say in Uganda we have 2.5 million orphans. We have only 502 kids. When I see that, I say, Lord, I remember what you told me. One time I was crying, and I was crying for people who were dying of AIDS. And I was telling God to do something. And God said, you do what you can, and leave the rest to me. And I thank God for the 500 out of the 2.5 million. But it's my prayer that God may touch many other people in Uganda, at least to take a step and take a kid or two, or three, or four. When we were dedicating Jonathan to the Lord, I invited many pastors, and they came in plenty. Bunch of them. We had about 300 people came on his dedication. And my intention was to let them see how important is to take care of a kid. And I said, if each one of them can take only one kid, or two kids, and just give him a future. It takes only 20 years. Only 20 years. Someone to become self-sufficient. Now when I see Paul Kakoza becoming a doctor, and he loves the Lord, to me, I see that is a gospel in action. When I see Dennis, who was kidnapped by the rebels, and they forced him to kill his parents before they took him to the bush, and he stayed there for 1.5 years, taking and carrying the chair of the labor leader, Kone, everywhere they went in the bush for 1.5 years. And time came, we escaped and came back. Though they opened up fire and the bullet went in his hand, but God helped him. When he pleaded for mercy, he was taken to the hospital, removed the bullet, and he ended up in our home and academy. Now, in September, he's graduating as agricultural engineer. When I see that, I see the gospel in action. When I see Jennifer, she was sexually abused more than 10 times by the rebels, and she wanted even to die. She said, I wish I can die. But after bringing her and presenting Jesus to her, and that changed her life, and she became one of the best kids. And now she's graduated. She graduated, and she's a cosmetologist. She's really working on ladies and hairs. And just recently, before I left the country, she called me and he said, Daddy, because she's back in Gulu, northern part of Uganda. And she called, Daddy, I want to come see you. I want to visit you. I said, come home, daughter. She came home and she bought some gifts and said, Daddy, I can't pay what I received from this house, but this is a small gift that I can afford as for now. Receive it, Daddy. Oh, I said, oh my God. We have such an opportunity in our time. We tried to change the tears into opportunity, because we realize that there is a gospel to be done in our time. And I'm so happy that instead of crying for those who are dead, now I see the future of the country and the lives of the kids. I'm here to beg you to pray for us. Pray for us, because we are standing there in Uganda for the cause of the gospel. And my prayer is that, Lord, give me some more days to live. I can't wait to see what you are going to do in the lives of these kids, because I believe I'm going to see so many leaders among those champions. I'm going to see leaders in the government. I'm going to see doctors and more nurses. I'm going to see many teachers. I'm going to attend so many weddings. And I'm going to see mothers and fathers. I want to see that. I can't wait to see that. Because when I look into their lives, God is doing something significant in their lives. It's the gospel. It's the gospel. And lastly, we have a destination. We have a destiny. We have our identity, and we have a purpose, and then we have the destiny. Though we are going through difficulties here, there is a better place where there is another place where we are going, which is a better place than this world. I remember Jesus said, "Went to prepare mansions for you. I'll come back and take you where I am, and there you will be." Though I don't want to go quickly, but I know I will end up there. Because it's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father unless by Jesus Christ. We have a destiny. I don't have much time to go in details about that. But brothers, I believe that this is not the last time to see you. If I don't come back to America here, I know we shall meet somewhere. Amen. And we shall rejoice forever. Amen. Though we are traveling in prayer, though we are trying to make this world a better place to live in, better place to our children, and things doesn't go the way we want. But I tell you what, the future is secured. We are redeemed. And we are secured. We have the confidence that our God has a very good destiny for each one of us. And we shall never regret. We shall never regret. We are just strangers here. We are passerby. We have a home. And in that home, there is a Father. And there is peace. And there is joy. And most of all, there is love. And we shall rest forever in the hands of the Savior. Let us pray. Our loving Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you so much for the great opportunity, Lord, you have given us in this life, that we are not disorderly, and we are not vagabond, but we are here having our identity in you, Lord, and we have the assignment using the ordinary for extraordinary work. When we see what you are doing and what you have done and believe of what you are going to do, Lord, we just raise up both of our hands and say, thank you, Lord, to set us apart for the work of the kingdom. I remember what you said, that we are your witness from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the world. The whole world is waiting for our words of reconciliation. People, they are not going to hell because of their sins, Lord, but because they have not accepted Jesus. But how can they know without someone taking them, telling them? And blessed are the feet of those who are taking the gospel of peace. Father, thank you for that. One word can make a difference. One word from you through us can make a difference. One deed, one action, and one step of love and mercy can bring a difference. Fathers, we are living in this hopeless world. People, they are losing hope from the leaders of the countries, Lord. No hope, even in political arenas. No hope outside in different leaders, Lord. But we thank you for the leader who is the King of Peace, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, because in him there is hope. We pray for this country. This is the country that brought the gospel in our country, Uganda. And how we are blessed. And we are proud of Americans, Lord. But Lord, I see the enemy is trying to destroy the plans you have here. But I know the more the dark, the greater the light. You are still sending missionaries around the globe from this country and even from Uganda to other countries, Lord, with the message of hope and the message of life. It's my prayer that, Lord, awaken us. I pray for the spirit of awakening, Lord. I pray for the spirit of traveling in prayer. I pray for the spirit of prayer, asking where, Lord, when, Lord, and how, Lord. Send your people, because the harvest are ready, but the harvest are few. The laborers are few, Lord. But, Lord, here we are, ordinarily, for the extraordinary work, the work that you have already done on the cross. You have already done it. We are just to declare it, that it was finished, and you did it, and you paid the price. Nothing was left unpaid. Father, help us to run with that torch. Help us to run with that baton. And help us, Lord, and even help our children, that when they hold the baton, they may also run with it, which is the gospel of life. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the leaders of the church. I thank you for the brethren of the church. Lord, I can't even imagine what you have done ever since you connected us to this fellowship, Father. What an incredible, significant work you have done with the champions and churches in Uganda. The message preached, the CDs and tapes and books, and even the money. Lord, I thank you for that, and I pray for each and every member. Lord, I pray that you bless them in return, and they keep them in good peace, Father. And the peace that passes the understanding of people may keep their hearts from falling, Lord, and bless the works of their hands, Father. Give them the increase, because I know that you are sufficient for all the needs of thy people. Lord, I commit them entirely in your hands. Let them see the good in the land of the living. I bless your holy name, and I pray for each and everyone here hurting. If there are anybody who is sick, let your hand reach them and touch them divinely. Touch them where they are hurting, Father, and heal them. Heal them, Father. Heal their bodies, Father. And heal their businesses. And heal everything, Lord. Reach them, and those who can't sleep, Father, I pray for the peace to prevail in their homes and their hearts. I pray for relationships, marriage relationships, Father. Continue to bind them with bonds of love, and they keep them together for the purposes of thy kingdom. Father, I thank you. I give you the praises and glory and honor. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.